Well, you know, Ron Wolfley fighting to keep his job at the Arizona Cardinals when he had a conversation with Cardinals brass 2 seconds ago about his weight loss efforts.
Yes. You know, Doug Lease, I've been fighting to keep my job with the Arizona Cardinals and the St. Louis Cardinals for a long, long time.
That is probably something to be believed. It's time for Sanderson Ford to present for you Football at 50.
Because football season never ends.
Chase the run now.
It's about to get ugly.
Football at 50 served daily. Sports 620, KTAR.
So you get the opportunity to ask your questions coming up in 10 minutes with Fun Katie when we get social with head coach Ken Wisenhunt and Rod Graves. But right now, Wolf and I get to have a conversation with them. Gentlemen, good morning. Coach, how are you?
Good. Thank you. Glad to be here.
Oh, that's awful nice of you guys to do this again this year. Rod, how's your life going?
Going pretty well right now.
Now, how's the offseason going for you guys?
It's been busy. I think with a lot of things going on, we're obviously proceeding just like we normally do this time in the offseason. And right now what we're finishing up our week with is free agent evaluations, preparing for that. I mean, we got a lot of players out there that we've got to look at and rank and decide about where they fit and who we want to go after and, you know, what needs that we have to address. That's a big process. So we've been working doing that as well as a number of other things in preparation, normal off-season preparations.
Your first sentence there somewhat answered this question anyway, but how has the CBA affected the Arizona Cardinals to this date?
Well, Doug, we just, as Ken indicated, we're just going about the business of preparing for the draft and for what would normally be a normal year. Mm-hmm. And we'll just see what comes out of it at the appropriate time. But right now it's incumbent upon us to be prepared to go whenever we get the green light.
One would think at some point in time, going through that free agent process, at some point in time, there is going to be a free agency period, right?
Well, you know, first of all, let's say this. You know, let's not get too wrapped up in the whole CBA thing, okay? There's going to be football. We're going to play at some point, and, you know, we're proceeding like everything is normal. We're working hard day and night to be prepared, which we normally do. And, I mean, let's face it, last season for us, we've set a standard around here, and we didn't live up to that standard. We're not happy about it. We're working hard to get that fixed. And, you know, right now this is a time where we do a lot of these normal preparations in order to improve our team and get ready for next season, and we're proceeding that way.
Typical of Newsmakers Week, you guys made news this week. Now you have an offensive coordinator, but what's different? What is Mike Miller's role? Is it really changed? Is there a dramatic difference, or are you guys basically keeping with the same program and a new title earned by Mike?
Well, Doug, you know, that's really, it's not a simple answer to that question. We've been pretty successful around here doing it the way we've been doing it. So obviously we're not going to change the basic structure of how we do things. This is just a way of rewarding Mike for a lot of hard work, but now he's going to have to answer or be on point for a number of questions. It's just a way of making sure that there's a central figure on the offensive side of the ball, that if there's a question, whether it's from a player or an assistant coach, Mike's going to be in charge of making sure that that gets answered. And this is really no different than what did with Todd a number of years ago, and we'll continue to do that. I felt that Mike, in the position that he was in 2 years ago, this was the best way to do it. And Mike has worked hard, has shown me that he's ready to do that job. And, you know, I think certainly I'm excited about us going forward, and I know that it'll help make us a better football club.
Wiz, since we're talking about coordinators here, talk about Ray Horton and why Ray Horton was the right decision for this team.
Well, that was a tough period. You know, the first thing that, and I could understand the fans, the minute the season's over, you want to get things addressed. And it was tough having to make the decision to let some of the coaches go that have been with us. But I felt like as far as getting our team better, that was what needed to happen. And once you do that, then you have to obviously get the process started of finding another coach or finding the next coach. And a lot of people have said this is your second defensive coordinator or actually your third defensive coordinator. So, you know, it's incumbent upon me to get it right. And, you know, a lot of times when you're trying to make a decision like that, it's not something that you want to take the knee jerk or the quick response to. You want to make sure you explore all your options. I felt like it was important to talk to some of the coaches that I knew were good football coaches that were still involved in the playoffs. So that meant that you had to wait. And to be quite honest with you, I'm glad that I did. I've been very impressed with Ray and the guys that we have hired to work with Ray and the other guys that are on our staff. I feel like we've got a good mix. But I said this earlier this week, too. really doesn't matter. I can talk about how great guys they are and you know, how we're going to do this and how we're going to do that. But like I said earlier, we've got a standard that we've set here, and nothing matters other than we get back to that standard and that we get back to winning division titles and playoff games and going to a Super Bowl and winning it this time.
That's head coach Ken Wisenhunt, general manager Rod Graves in here with us as well on the Doug and Wolf show for Newsmakers Week. I don't know how often you guys get a phone call that says, you won't believe what Wolf said this morning. But when you heard Wolf speculate of the dream of Dick LeBeau being the defensive coordinator, who reacted first and what were you thinking of saying to Wolf the first time you saw him?
Well, you know, there's a lot of things that Wolf says that you just got to
kind of... Oh, no. Doug, that was just... That was just set him up.
We call that a setup in the business.
He lobbed that across the plate, and I had to take a swing at it, Wolf.
I said it was pure speculation from the get-go, but you do have a great relationship with Dick LeBeau, don't you?
No question. Dick is one of my closest friends, and I have great respect for Dick. And any type of association that I can have with Dick LeBeau makes me a better person. And you know, obviously it's tough because he was on a team that was in the playoffs, and it was not a coach that you could talk to about a job. I mean, I'll be honest with you, I had conversations with Dick during that time, but it was not about coaching for the Cardinals. It was more about good luck, you know, also just our normal conversations that we have in friendship. But listen, I tell you what, I like the fact that there's so many people that care about what we're doing. That means that we have people that are interested in our team and obviously want to see us win. And you know, I think, like I said, that's a tribute to our fans and their support of us, and we're really appreciative of that.
Tell us, Rod, about draft preparation. You mentioned that that's the main focus right now for the Arizona Cardinals. How's that going? And what do you need from me to bring Patrick Peterson here?
Well, I'll say this. Steve Keim and our scouting staff have done a tremendous job over the years, and I will continue on the same path of preparation like we always have been. We expect this draft to be strong, and we expect that we'll have the opportunities to address the areas of need, and we're excited about it. So that process is ongoing, and we're headed to Indianapolis next week, and we'll spend a week there in preparation for the combine, interviewing, working players out, and doing all the things that you normally do at the Indianapolis Combine. So a lot of exciting things are ahead for us. And as Ken said, we couldn't wait for the 2010 season to be behind us and get about the business of preparing for 2011. We're excited about it. We're anxious to get back on track. And Ken has done a great job, really, of setting the tone for a football team. I think one of the things that probably had the biggest impact for our team last year was to hit on us in terms of our core. And when you lose a player like Kurt Warner, you don't easily replace him. We found that out. The other thing is that, you know, we've got to keep that chemistry going with our football team, and we'll get back to that. We're certain of it. And so we're going to fill a couple of holes this offseason, and I think we've got a tremendous chance to be right back in the thick of things next season.
Rod, seven teams have used the franchise tag. Do you foresee us using the franchise tag coming up here at any time?
I don't anticipate it. That's a decision that we haven't come to a final conclusion on, but Wolf, I don't anticipate that. But you know, we're excited about our players. We're going to make every effort to re-sign the guys that we think are most important to us, and look for opportunities in the free agent market to improve us in other areas. So we're certainly looking forward to this offseason once again to do the things we have to do to keep our team strong.
Ken, I know there's no way you're going to tell us actually who said it, but in your exit interviews with the players, was anything said that made you go, whoa? I mean, was there anything that shocking or surprised you that came out of the exit interviews?
You know, I think that it was there's always things that come up in the exit interviews that you classify as shocking or – I wouldn't say shocking, but I wouldn't even say surprising. I would just say sometimes they're painful because you know, a lot of times, sometimes it's essentially the last time you're going to talk to some of these players, and you know it, and a lot of times they know it. And there's also other things that come up, whether it was, you know, how you operated a certain way or mistakes that were made during the year. And I'm not talking about necessarily football mistakes, but maybe personal decisions that some players made that affected the way they played. You know, there's a lot of things that come out, and I think it's really magnified when you don't have a great season because we have a prideful group of guys, and You know, they want to win. The thing that happened to us this year in large part was we had so many young guys, you know, you've heard the phrase, they didn't know if it was pumped or stuffed. And that was true to a large degree. I think one of the areas that I'm really excited about is that we have so many young guys that played a lot of football for us that's going to help us going into next season. You know, and they played well. I mean, if you look at our first three draft picks, Dan Williams, Darryl Washington, and Andre Roberts, and their impact, you know, they are three outstanding football players that got a tremendous amount of playing time. And the thing with young guys that you realize or that you know is they usually struggle starting out. That's why I'm very hesitant to start a young player, because there's always a learning curve or there's always a time period where you struggle. Darryl Washington started for us the first game, and quite frankly, he didn't play very well. And that's why we got to about midseason and he wasn't a starter anymore. But when he did start for us over the last four or five games, he became a pretty daggum good football player at that point. He was a beast, as was Dan Williams. Dan Williams didn't start for us early, got more playing time as the year went on, and played well. And hey, let's talk about Andre Roberts. There were a lot of people that were ready to cut him in training camp. Didn't play a lot, dropped balls, you know, wasn't the most popular guy. But on Saturday night, on Christmas night against Dallas Cowboys, you know, he made one of the biggest plays for us all year, with that getting bumped while he's trying to get down the field, staying on his course, making the catch and scoring a touchdown. So I'm proud of these young men. And I think they've been raised in large degree the right way. They understand what it takes. And listen, it hurt all of us not to have a good season. And I've seen a lot of the guys in the complex already. And I think that, you know, they're in there asking for information, want DVD cut-ups of this past season, which is a great sign. It means guys really want to get that bad taste out of their mouth and move forward.
Ron Wolfley is ready for the big one.
Here it is, guys, and either of you can jump right in and answer this. Of course, everyone wants to know about the quarterback position and who's going to be the quarterback for the Arizona Cardinals in 2011. And, you know, I'm not naive enough to believe that you guys are going to divulge what your plans are. But is there a plan A, B, and C?
Well, you know, that we don't have to make a decision on who our starting quarterback is today. We've got a little bit of time to do that. But I'll say this. It's obviously a position that we need to address from a standpoint of not only playing better. We're going to do everything that we can to address it, whatever avenue is available to us. We're looking at a number of different options. But much like hiring the defensive coordinator, it's not something that you can sit in a room and say one day later, I've got the answer. You've got to look through a number of different things, whether it's free agents, whether it's rookies, and we haven't even started the process of really evaluating the rookies. Next week, that starts with actually getting a chance to see them on the field working out, getting them in a room, talking to them, see where they are mentally about what they're able to handle, which is so critical to being able to make that transition. So there's a lot of time available to us as far as getting that done, but trust me, we've been working very hard to make sure that we're prepared. We are going to be aggressive in how we pursue it, whatever avenue that we use, but we're going to use everyone that's available to us.
There's a lot of confusion among fans, and I'm in this boat too, the official CBA rules as it relates to what you can do. What does the 2011 draft picks, are they, could you make trades with the 2011 draft picks and bring in a quarterback now? Can you trade 2012? What players are players available with the CBA pending doom, as people are saying, come March? What can you do right now,
Well,
Rod?
Doug, we aren't, with respect to draft choices, we can trade draft picks, but we cannot trade player contracts. So you can't trade player for player or pick for player. We're not in a position of doing that at any point right now until the new league year starts. So that's the limitations that we have at this point, but we are in a position to trade picks if we so desire.
Do you like Cam Newton?
who is that?
I was going to play Al Davis for you, but I didn't want you to have to react to that.
Kim?
Yeah. Exactly.
Oh, no.
Well, then you know who we're talking about.
You need to know that.
Yeah,
Liz.
Yeah. Just something I'd like you all to know. Before we go Al Davis on you, it's time to get social.
Hey, boys and girls, it's time to get social with Fun Katie.
That's me.
Brought to you by Sanderson Ford.
Ladies and gentlemen, I did not step up and screw up and step all over it today. I feel important.
Well done, Doug.
First time in a month, I've done my job correctly. Fun, Katie, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm terrific. How are you?
Good. We kept it a lot warmer in studio for you today. I don't know why you're acting like it's so cold.
No way.
It's up to 69 degrees. It's normally 67 in here.
Really?
We did that for you.
I don't believe you.
What are people texting, tweeting, and posting in their questions for Coach and Rod Graves?
Yeah, we got some great questions today. Robert tweets, Coach, what does Mike Miller bring to the table as the new offensive coordinator?
Was that Mike Miller that tweeted that? You know what? I think that he's a young coach that has worked very hard to get into this position. So he brings energy. He brings certainly a lot to the table from the standpoint of creativity, from accountability. When he moves into that role. I mean, it is a role that has a lot of responsibility, and you've got to be ready to answer questions, whether it's from the head coach, whether it's from players, whether it's from quarterbacks, whether it's from other coaches. And, you know, that's a job that's a big job that takes a lot of preparation, and Mike has worked very hard to be prepared for that. And, you know, part of the interview process hasn't been just the last couple of weeks. It's been the last 4 years, and there have been a lot of questions or a lot of times where I've put Mike on the spot just to see how he would respond in order to consider him for that position, and he's done a very good job with that. So he brings a lot to the table from a standpoint of this is a guy that has worked with Kurt Warner hand in hand, who was in one of the best seasons that we've ever had offensively after 09, who has worked with a young rookie quarterback in John Skelton. He was in there every morning at 6 a.m. He's paid his dues, and you know, as all of us in this country in America understand, if you work hard at something, you get an opportunity to get rewarded, and that's what's happened with Mike. Sorry for the length of that answer.
What's the next one, fun, Katie?
On our Facebook page, Eric asks, Rod, how much stock do the Cardinals put in the NFL scouting combine when evaluating players?
Oh, Katie, a great deal. A lot of information comes out of that combine, and you know, we not only have a chance to sit down and go face-to-face with the players, learn a little bit more about their personality and some insight to the character, and we get a chance to follow up on questions that we may have picked up during the course of the football season. But a lot of vital medical information comes out of that week, and you know, just we get a chance to compare athletic abilities of the players on a common field and in the same environment. All of those things are very important for us, and we come out of it with critical information for us in terms of making decisions for the draft.
Rod, how difficult is it to balance what you see at the combine with film? A guy's great college football player, and all of a sudden you're not impressed with the things that you see at the combine, or the opposite, when you don't think the guy really is all that good on film, and all of a sudden he blows you away in a combine workout and an interview. How do you mesh film with what you find out in Indianapolis?
Well, Doug, we have an old school philosophy. Ken and I honestly believe that, you know, what matters most is how that player produces on film and during the games, and you can't get too carried away with the information that you pick up out of the combine. You have players that don't run as well, or some who run extremely well, but that doesn't dictate the football player. And, you know, so the measurements have their place. They certainly are taken under consideration. But what determines whether or not a player is a good football player is what he does on Saturdays and the character aspect that he brings to the table.
You know, Wiz, I played with a guy that scored a 6 on the Wunderlich test, and he played 14 years in the NFL. How much emphasis do you place as a coach on the Wunderlich test?
Well, you know, I tell you what, that depends. I think part of the combine process is being able to sit down face-to-face and talk to these young men. I mean, the Wunderlich test is a method of evaluating them, but, you know, you really get a chance to sit down and ask them questions and see what their responses are. And quite frankly, you try to put them on the spot. You try to see how they're going to react, you know, because that's what's going to happen on the field on Sundays. They're going to be put on the spot and see how they can think on their feet. So that's a part of it that's a process that you have to, you know, that you use to evaluate them.
And let me add to that, Wolf, is, you know, by the time we arrive in Indianapolis, we've got a great deal of information that we've acquired from those that work with these players on a daily basis on the college campuses. And so if there's a learning disability or if there's some other forms of learning that is better for the player, we usually have a feel for that. Some guys go from the chalkboard to the field pretty easily, and others need to learn more through reps on the field.
Mm-hmm.
We have have that kind of information. And so sometimes the test score is not always indicative of the football player's football intelligence, as we call it.
Another question from our Facebook page. Brian wants to know, what are the top three positions that you're looking to improve through the draft and free agency?
Well, I can. There's 11 on the field at one time, so 22. There's actually 22 positions that we're looking to improve on. You know, I think that that's a process that obviously we can look at a number of positions that need to be improved, and I don't want to classify one as more important than the other. I think we've already said that the quarterback position is one of those that we really need to look at, and you know, there's a number of positions that we feel like we have young players that are ready to step in and be good players. So our, you know, our strategy or our ability to try to get players there may not be as intense as it would be. And the one thing you got to be careful about is that there's going to be a free agency period, and we don't really want to tip our hand, because if you're trying to get into the free agency period and get a player, you don't really want other teams to know what you're looking at, because it can have an effect on your ability to get a player that you want.
The famous question, which you knew was coming, and it's basically a follow-up to what was just asked there. When you were picking at number five, the age-old question, best available on the board, the best player on the board, I'm getting him, or position of need?
You know what? And again, we answer it the same way every year.
I know. We ask the same thing. It's our little game.
Doug does.
You know what? I will say, we spend a great deal of time, Ken, myself, Steve Keim, and our scouting staff, our coaches, not only evaluating the players as they relate to one another across the country, but we start building our 120 list based on not only their abilities but our need. And so once that draft rolls around, we factored all of that in. And so our decisions are made pretty easily on draft day. We've already factored in what our needs are when we set that 120 board. And so at that point, we say we're taking the best available player because that is, in fact, what we've taken in consideration at that time.
But let me also say this, too, which sometimes if you're picking, there may be a player that you deem as so good. It may be a position that you already have some depth at, but it becomes a situation where you couldn't pass this player up if it's an unbelievable player that you feel like can make a dramatic impact that slipped. I mean, I know there's a lot of teams that would love to have the opportunity to have taken Aaron Rodgers when he slipped down into the 20s in the draft. So, you know, hindsight's always 20/20, but you know, say you didn't need a quarterback, but if Aaron Rodgers was there and you had the 15th pick of the draft and you know what you knew now, yeah. no matter how many quarterbacks you have, you would take that position. So sometimes, Rod says that exactly right. We do a lot of work on that to prepare, and it's really based on the best player, one that also fits our needs. But sometimes, every once in a while, not very often, because there's 31 other teams doing their homework too, there happens to be a player there, then you would obviously take that player.
We had a lot of interest in this question, so this text is for both of you. How much does Larry Fitzgerald's opinion weigh on your decision about quarterback?
Well, to be honest with you, I had to check with Larry to make sure it was okay that I came.
Are you being facetious with us?
I don't know. Wolf, what do you think?
I think just a tad.
Larry is a very good football player. I've been very public about my position with our players and having an open-door policy. So the opinions of our players matter to me. And that is, I think, important when you have a team. You know, it's all about guys doing it together and being successful. But Larry's not making the decision for us. I don't think Larry wants to do that, if you asked him. But we solicit the opinions of our players, a lot of our players, on a number of different things, whether it's, and I've said this before, whether it's travel to the East Coast, what we're doing, meals, how we're doing certain situations in practice. So, you know, let's not get too wrapped up in Larry making the decisions for what we're going to do. But whenever you have good players, you know, you do want to get their opinions, especially ones that have been in the league and been successful.
And it's nothing new. I mean, I've seen Ken operate that way with Kurt Warner and so many other valued players on our football team. And, you know, it's the same approach. And I admire that. I think our players respect that open door policy. And so we obviously exercised it with Larry. And, you know, it's worked well, not only for Coach, but for our entire staff.
Don't forget, you heard it here. Ken Wisenhunt and Rod Graves reporting that Larry Fitzgerald's opinion on the performance of Ron Wolfley and Paul Calvisi will not matter and not be taken into consideration. The last question is a very simple one. Coach, you go first. Simply, what do you want the fans to know about the Arizona Cardinals?
Well, you know, I kind of touched on this earlier at the top of our discussion, but we've set a standard here the last few years. Six playoff games, back-to-back division titles, going to a Super Bowl that we expect to attempt to meet every year. We fell short of that this year. Not something that we were pleased about. We are committed to getting back to that. We're working day and night. Like I said, we're working very hard. We appreciate the support of our fans. We've had 53 consecutive sellouts. You don't do that without the support that we've had. And for that, we're very grateful. You know, I know that at times it's tough that our fans are disappointed that we don't seem to be reacting or doing things quickly, but we're working very hard to make sure we improve our team and get back to the team that they can be proud of, and that when they come to University of Phoenix Stadium on Sunday, or even when they're walking down the street and wearing a Cardinal hat and saying hello and how much they appreciate our team, that means a lot. So we're working to do that. Thank you for your continued support. And, you know, we're excited about the 2011 season. Please keep your interest, keep your questions, keep your comments coming, because it shows that you're connected and that you care, and that means a lot to us.
Rod?
Well, I'll say, you know, it was very unsettling for us this year not to be a playoff team. And, you know, with all the continued sellouts, as Ken indicated, to us, it indicates that our fans expect a certain brand of football. And we're very cognizant of that. And we're working hard to try to get things back on track internally. Despite the way that we played this year, we don't feel like we're really that far away. We've got a team full of anxious players, young players, as Ken indicated. We think those guys are going to come through for us in a big way. We're anxious to address a couple of areas, and with some strength in those areas, we're certainly looking to be a playoff team next season.
Gentlemen, thank you for coming down, spending some time with us today. We really do appreciate it.
Thank
you. This was fun. Can I make a request that Katie does your guys' job the next time? Because she's a lot more fun. I use that, no pun intended, than you guys.
Thanks, Coach.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, that's fun, Katie.
Oh, we got Doug. Did you hear that? We got Doug speechless there. That was
good. That was doing something.
She is a crowd pleaser, though, isn't she?
Yeah, I got hit with the bus there. There's no doubt about that. And at the same time, you don't have any Kim Newton questions?
You don't. You got them all answered? As a matter of fact, no.
Okay, good.
He does play at Auburn, though, right?
You got that right.